RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Your eyes are the window to your health. Time to learn more with Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Did you ever wonder how the authors of the Old and New Testament thought of eyes and vision, whether it was anthropomorphic or whether it was really the spiritual insight? Well, I think they've been written pretty well into both narratives. And I have an expert with me and a dear friend, the very Reverend Bill Lane, who has been an Episcopal priest for so many years and has been a man of the community as well as a man of the holy literature. And I'm so happy that Bill could be with us today and share his wisdom about the importance of eyes and vision in the holy literature. Thanks, Bill. Can you give us a little bit about your background and whether this is a piece of information that might be valuable to people?
Sure, Robin. It's good. I'm delighted that you invited me to be a part of the conversation this morning. And you were correct. I've been an Episcopal priest longer than sometimes I care to remember. Over 50 years now, and as a priest, as I've been a student of the scriptures, of the Greek and Hebrew scriptures, and have preached on them and taught from them and learned from them and sought to live out of them. So it's, and the whole piece about eyes and vision and insight is critical to the biblical literature, and the use of the eye is quite often used as a way of talking about insight, perception, vision, understanding, acknowledgement, and it begins right at the very beginning of the biblical narrative. In the book of Genesis, in the great stories of creation, that great poem of creation in Genesis, in the first chapter, we read about God. God saw everything that He had made. God's perception of what has been created, as the Genesis writers understood it, God saw everything that He had made, and it was good. So God perceives that which is created, including humankind, as good, and indeed very good. So, and then, right in the early stories of Genesis, we have the vision and insight and perception that turns sour. Remember the story of man and woman in the garden in paradise. And God's gift to them of paradise and the use of all of paradise except for one thing, and that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we have this wonderful, marvelous little pericope, little story of the serpent and the woman and the great story of temptation. And the woman, finally we're told that the woman saw, she looks upon, she sees that the tree was good for food. The old standard is that it was an apple, but of course the scripture doesn't say anything about an apple there. It just says good for food. And so it's delight to the eyes. So she perceives the attractiveness of the fruit of the tree. And then as we know, the rest, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, she takes it and she eats and man comes along and he accepts the fruit and eats of it. Woman gets the blame for that quite often, but really, man takes it on his own to eat of it, and so he really shares the responsibility for that. We men can't get away with that. So we have those great stories, and then we even as we continue in Genesis the story of Noah. You know, there's a whole flow in those early chapters in Genesis when God perceives that which He had looked upon as being good, very good, is not living into that goodness. And we have the story, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence, And so it's in God's sight. God perceives, God's perception of that which he has created is that it is not living into to what he had intended for it, not living into the being in his image, in God's image. So the use of sight and eyes and vision, it comes very early into the scripture. And most often, I think, it is a way of talking about understanding, perception, and vision. And the we again carry that forward in Abraham. Remember the story of Abraham and Isaac, and Abraham mm-hmm. is called upon to take his son Isaac and to prove his complete, utter, unquestionable loyalty to God to sacrifice his son. And so he heads out to do that. And as he's about to do it, he sees in his a ram caught in the thicket, and that ram is provided as the subject of sacrifice, and Isaac is spared. And of course, in that sparing, with that sight insight, the great promise of God to Abraham is maintained. Because, of course, if Isaac had been sacrificed, the promise would have died with that sacrifice. So vision and eyes, that's a lot of rambling, Rob, but the vision and eyes are, and sight and insight are keenly important in the scripture.
Right.
And
well, you know that...
we find in Matthew, in the great Beatitudes, in the fifth chapter of Matthew, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It is when we live into the fullness of that which we have been created that we have the vision of God, the one who, in whose image we have been created. So there's some thoughts.
Well, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people may do Bible study, and a lot of people think that they're religious and know the scriptures. But this thread of duality of vision, I mean, for instance, in Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be
yep.
full of light. So that is the simple thing on the eye. But then you go to Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on height of his stature, because I have rejected him.
Yep.
For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And that's what you're telling us, Bill, is that the concept of the eye, even the evil eye, right, in the Bible?
That's right.
The
evil eye, for instance, it's in Proverbs, I think, a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that that want will come upon him. And then in Luke, the eye is the lamp of the body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. So, and then this wonderful one I like, and we might be running out of time, also in Proverbs, a king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. And I have this marvelous vision of the culprit coming before the evil one coming before the king, and the king just looking at him, and the guy knows he's had it. He's been caught, right?
Well, this is great, Bill, because I think it gives a lot of insight to people, because they may read a lot of literature, and especially the Holy Scriptures, and not recognize the concept of this communication, whether it's outward or inward. And so people like you who've helped so many people. Thanks. We're going to have to do this again, Bill. But I have to tell folks that I'm Dr. Robert Abel, the Wizard of Eyes on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit the show page at RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying well. And thank you for looking more deeply into your own literature and your own heart.